Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is
Mark II version Aaron O'Brien.
Mark II version of David. Oh no, I'm being replaced.
Already.
After 2.5 years of Synthaholics, I'm being replaced.
Yes. A better version of Dave Duncan. What is up, people? We are talking about this episode, a Voyager episode.
Year of Voyager, hashtag Synthaholics Year of Voyager.
That's right. This voyage, we're talking message in a bottle.
Genie in a bottle. Wait.
Dude. You went to, I was going The Police, and you went Christina Aguilera.
You know, at work, they have the radio on all day.
It doesn't excuse anything.
It does, because all the modern songs are even worse than that. So whenever Genie in a Bottle comes on, it's like, okay, this is at least the song I remember it coming out. All these other songs are terrible.
Was that early 2000s?
Yes, I remember this coming out. But we didn't have a lot of Discovery news this week, or Star Trek news really in general.
No. I think there was a Klingon promo trailer that came out.
Like 30 seconds.
Wasn't anything.
Yeah, I think there was another short minute-long promo with Michael Burnham's character kind of narrating it, but it was 90% old footage, so nothing new to be gleaned. I think there's a contest that Rainn Wilson tweeted out or something, so you can go see the premiere.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw that.
But nothing huge to write home about.
I never enter contests. I really don't.
They're so disappointing. It's like, that would be so awesome, but then it's like, nah.
You're never gonna win that.
The Orville's coming out. I don't think we've maybe just mentioned it.
Yeah, Orville's Seth MacFarlane's.
What is your take on that? Because I don't think we've really talked about it.
I think it's going to be funny. The only thing I'm kind of cringing about is he's got his ex-wife as his second command or something like that. And just the jokes seem like going to get worse then. I hope that's not all it is.
I feel it's going to be an hour-long show. It's not going to be a 30-minute comedy.
Right.
Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that, but
I'm shocked. I don't know how this show. I mean, I want the show to be good, and yeah. I want it to be fun and have longevity. But I'm scared it's not, because A, it's Fox, and B, it's Seth MacFarlane. I love Seth MacFarlane, but Family Guy's been canceled 3 times. Well, I mean, sometimes his movies don't always sometimes his live action ventures don't always hit as hard as his cartoon ventures.
That's a good point, and it's very possible that this show won't go very far, because I think for guys like us, obviously, and other people who are in geek culture might enjoy Seth MacFarlane on Star Trek.
I like his humor. I like the idea of the show. I'm just scared that it being a long form, hour long show, that it's either not going to be as comedy as we thought it was, or if it is, it's going to be really hard to sustain.
Well, it might be maybe not total off the wall Family Guy comedy, but it could be comedy mixed with a drama, like a Star Trek episode, but with comedy in it.
I mean, that could be a good thing. I think
that would be fun.
I hope it works out. I really do. Just Fox canceled Firefly real quick.
Well, yeah, Fox.
Science fiction shows are really expensive to produce, and if this doesn't show numbers quick.
It's hard to believe, too, because for a lot of reasons, I mean, besides the CGI stuff, I mean, it's most of the time they're in one or two sets, and that's about it. They don't really change too much, so.
Well, the sets are expensive. I read back in, the TNG, that big horseshoe thing on the bridge. Mm-hmm. I think I read somewhere that was $75,000 just for that one piece of the set.
I don't doubt that. I always looked at that and go, man, whoever made that, they had to actually craft that wood to be that, to turn like that. I mean, it's pretty intense.
It's a beautiful piece, but $75,000 in 1989 dollars.
Yeah, so
that's like
two or three times as amount.
Like quarter. That's like quarter of half a million in today's money. I'm just roughly guesstimating.
I don't think it's that much, but
it's a lot.
I bet you it's like, yeah, well, maybe you're
maybe a quarter, maybe a quarter mil,
maybe a size of a nice size house. You know, yeah, like the price
for that one prop, for that one part of the. So, I mean, science fiction stuff is just expensive to do.
Well, they didn't have.
It's getting cheaper to do.
Well, they have plastics are easier to make, and they have 3D printers, so things are a lot different. I do wonder, like when you saw like that big horseshoe council that you know Worf would stand at. You didn't have to use wood.
It may not have been wood, but I mean,
it really looked like wood. It looked like wood that had been like a shellacked, veneer, a veneer of like polyurethane on it, and it looked really good. So
yeah, it did. But just because it looks like it on a TV set doesn't mean it actually is. But I mean, well, that was a really heavy duty piece of the set, though.
And tell you the truth, from what I've seen with the Orville, I mean, the effects don't look that all over the top. They look like they're just like pretty simple stuff. Like, even this Voyager episode, the effects look far more intense, you know, compared to what I'm seeing in the Orville. So, you know, even the sets look pretty just...
Yeah, the sets are pretty basic on the Orville, yeah. I think. But I think because it's going that comedy route, that's...
I know.
It's part of the joke, I think.
Right. But, yeah, so, I mean, it looks interesting. I mean, Seth MacFarlane's funny. I mean, he was on, and he's a huge Star Trek fan.
And so I think he's going to definitely have respect for the material. And he was in a handful of Enterprise episodes.
Yeah, when that was up. Yeah,
and he didn't speak much at all, if at all.
I think he had
like one or two lines here and there.
Because he would work in engineering with Tucker. So.
He'd be like, yes, sir, and then we'll walk away.
Yeah, basically, that's all it was, And I know he wanted to do more. He wanted to do writing for Star Trek.
He's wanted to do Star Trek for a while, so this is the closest he's probably going to get, or at least he's going to get for now. So
right.
I mean, maybe if Orville bombs, maybe they'll hire him on for Star Trek Discovery, if Star Trek Discovery makes it past its first season.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll see what happens. We also got strange news that the TV show, Netflix TV show Black Mirror, has a parody or some kind of homage to Star Trek. It's going to be called the USS Callister. That's the episode. We don't know anything about it.
I like the name Callister.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool.
But we don't know. It could be really...
I hope it's not a parody. I hope it stays Black Mirror-ishy with, like, being dark and messed up. I would rather Dark Mirror not go into the vein of parody or comedy.
I got a feeling it's going to be, like, people like us are obsessed with the show, and then the episodes start talking to them or something like that, or start doing weird things. You know, like the TV starts telling them weird things to do. Sort of just like Son of Sam's dog start telling him to kill people. I don't know. I have nothing to base this on. This is just my thought. If I was Black Mirror, what would I do? I would have...
I'd have Kirk
and Spock talking to me directly and telling me what to do and go on missions. I don't know. So, could be.
It'd be... I just wonder what the twist would be in that kind of setup. Because usually Black Mirror always has like a really big twist at the end of most episodes.
Or it's just twisted, period.
Oh, yeah, or just the whole thing just twisted. Yeah.
If you haven't watched Black Mirror...
Watch it. Don't be scared off by the first episode. The first episode's super intense.
Yeah. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, don't want to give anything away. I'm all about spoilers, but it's super intense. Like, just if you can make it through the first episode... It's still intense, but not that kind of intense, like, going forward. Like, the first one is just so, like, out there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they started with that.
Yeah, I am too. But they definitely got people's attention.
It does that, unless it scares you away.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, well, it's you'd have to see. Maybe don't start with the first episode. Jump to the second or third.
They're not connected. I mean...
They're very Twilight Zone-y, so if you're familiar with Twilight Zone, every episode, it's its own story, has nothing to do with the next story after it. They're different actors, different
setups.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there might be like a theory. I think there's a theory that they're all in the same universe. Like,
it could be,
but they're not necessarily like connected to each other directly, other than they may happen on the same Earth and just different parts in the future.
It's a possibility. Very possible.
But yeah, that's it. Mostly non-Star Trek news this week, but other interesting, like, Star Trek-ish things that are going to be happening.
Yeah, right.
Very soon. Orville starts, like, a week or two before Discovery does.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then Discovery.
Cannot wait.
So weird that finally here.
Finally here, after all this waiting.
I can't believe how long we've talked about Discovery.
Well, it was supposed to come out in January, so like...
Well, I know, but I mean, but no, we...
We should be talking about what's happening for the second season by now.
I know.
Well, you know, it's just, it's crazy that, it is crazy that it's been such a journey. And when we started the show, we had no...
Yeah, we didn't know that it was going to be out.
We had, like, it was our biggest hope that a new Star Trek series would come on.
Right.
While we were doing the show, and it's come true, and it's exciting.
Our dreams are coming true.
Woo.
And that dress, we'll all be wearing dresses.
Wish upon a star, a tale as old as time.
Oh, no.
Don't take our word for it and the beast.
Oh, no. Well, we will be talking about Message in the Bottle. This is Voyager, Season 4, Episode 14, and this came out January 21st, 1998. And this is stars the infamous and famous Andy Dick.
Andy Dick, the Andy Dick episode.
Andy Dick is pretty awesome, but he's had a lot of battles with drug and alcohol abuse over the years, and he's done a lot of crazy stuff. I don't think he'll ever be normal.
Do we even want him to be normal?
I don't know. I would want him to be... I don't want him to be normal, but I want him to have, like,
something... Be healthy.
Healthy, exactly. Because he is funny, and I would hate to see him, like, you know, do something, like, overdose or...
Yeah.
You know, something bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody, though. Andy Dick, I haven't been a huge follower of his work. I've seen him pop up here and there.
Well,
like,
he's spotty, you know, especially lately. He's all over the place. Like, he'll pop up something, and then, like, the most I've caught up, because he's on the Joe Rogan show once in a while, like, maybe once every year or 2 years, he'll come on, you know.
I mean, like, I was a big fan of Get Smart, watching Get Smart on Nick at Night with my dad and my grandpa and my siblings, and
right.
Loved Get Smart. And then there was, like, a resurgence. There was a Get Smart, a very short-lived, I think, I want to say it was on Fox, and Fox canceled it almost immediately. It only had, like, 6 episodes come out. But in addition to Don Adams and as Agent 86, his son, it was played by Andy Dick, and his son was the new agent of Control, and that was only a couple episodes long. It was so disappointing that it ended so quick.
Well, the holy grail of Andy Dick is news radio.
Well, probably because it lasted longer than 6 episodes.
Oh, yeah, news radio. I think it was, like, maybe 5 seasons, maybe 6 seasons.
And if you remember the infamous Shoe Phone, the new show brought in this mind-blowing new phone, the Bra Phone.
Okay. Gotcha. But news radio had Andy Dick, had Joe Rogan, had Phil Hartman, one of my favorite comedians. And it had Dave Foley, and it was just pure comedy gold. I mean, if you like shows like Frasier and stuff like that, it's the same thing. It's sort of it's a news radio studio and all the antics that go on mm-hmm. within it, you know. And it's doesn't really have much to do with the news itself. I mean, obviously they have a sound booth where they announce the news over the radio, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, just all the craziness that goes around. So, like, office antics and stuff like that. So, and Andy Dick is just slapstick and silly, and, you know, he was great. So,
yeah, and something we talked about off there, I want to say last week when we were talking about doing this episode, during the roast of William Shatner, Andy Dick gets up and, like, licks Patton Oswalt's face. And then Patton Oswalt starts talking about, like, Leia in her golden bikini. And Carrie Fisher's actually there at the roast, William Shatner. And then Andy Dick walks up and, like, starts licking Carrie Fisher's face.
Oh,
and then she goes, and then she, like, starts licking Andy Dick's face.
Oh, jeez.
And I thought they were making out, but this is, like, the next step, I guess. They're just, like, licking each other's faces. So I thought that was good. And I was telling you about this last week. I couldn't find a clip on YouTube. I found, like, a Comedy Central link that shows part of it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Roast of William Shatner was pretty good. I saw it. I want to say I saw it on TV. I think I DVR'd it, like, way back in the day when it came on.
Right.
And on TV, it was super censored. Like, George Takei, when he was up doing the Roast of William Shatner, his like litany of things he said was bleeped out. Like I couldn't. It was like bleep bleep off off bleep bleep. It was like you couldn't hear anything. Wow. It was insane. And it was probably a bunch of like gay jokes against William. but it was like super bleeped.
So well, obviously Takai's never been.
And I'm super sad. I went and looked for that so I could find more of this clip between Andy Dick and Carrie Fisher. And I can't find the roast of William Shatner on Netflix or on Amazon Prime or anything. And since it's Comedy Central,
I know, there's
stuff
super out there.
They're super strict about their YouTube usage.
I mean, going back to News Radio, Phil Hartman did a... He was on Saturday Night Live for, I don't know, like 5, 6, 7 seasons. And he was replaced by Will Ferrell, but he came back as a guest. And on that guest, he did this awesome skit. And it was like a World War II skit where he played like a general. And he was talking to his troops and knowing when they're all going to die. Because he'd been a general for so long. He's like, oh yeah, I know how you're going to die and blah, blah, blah. But it was so funny. And I can't find it anywhere. And I've even rented the best of Phil Hartman Saturday Night Live. And I can't. It's not on that. Because that was when he was on as a cast member, but they don't have him as a guest.
It's so. Just really like, how do you get to view these things? They're not on streaming services. They're not on YouTube. Like,
I'm assuming,
can you even buy them?
Like, I'm assuming if I found that season and I bought that season on DVD, but I don't want the whole freaking season. Maybe I'll go to library or something like that.
I need to look and see online if there's a way to buy the roast of William Shatner because it was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. So who knows? But so, message in a bottle. You do know that song, right? Dude.
I shook my head no for all those out there in the podcast.
Sending out an SOS. Sending out an SOS. You've never heard the Police message in a bottle?
Probably not.
Wow.
Unless it's in a movie somewhere and it was in the background, maybe I've heard parts of it, but
oh my
I don't think.
God, we're YouTubing that after. I can't believe you never heard that song. Okay, well, so like I said, this is Voyager, and we start off. B'Elanna Torres is complaining to Chakotay about 7 of 9, how 7 of 9 is basically doesn't have any manners, and she's always giving barking orders and just. Very uncomfortable for her to work with, and that
she's got her pregnant vest on.
Yeah,
with the tools. It's like
it's
I'm
like
pregnant.
So strange.
Then she only wears it when she's pregnant. They're trying to cover up from being pregnant, but it's like, oh, you've obviously changed her costume. So what's wrong with her?
Well,
they did a really good job cutting around it. I mean, like I was looking for it because I knew why she was wearing it. And you can't tell because they've done. They did a
it's funny. I didn't really know that's why she. But I was like, what an ugly vest. I mean, I thought they were trying to go with the Jean-Luc Picard look, but I was like, that just looks dumb on her.
No, because remember, the game, the Killing Game, which is only a couple episodes later. Yeah. We talked about with
Adam.
Adam, that's right.
Adam Herr.
Adam Herr. I was thinking Pete, and I was like, nope, not Pete. Adam will yell at me if I say Pete.
I did say Pete the one time.
It was fun. Yeah. And you said it on purpose whenever he was like, oh, fuck you. But,
fuck you.
But, it was, yeah, so, and they had her pregnant. She was like, I remember reading the memory off of that episode. She was glad she didn't have to, like, cover it up.
I don't have to cover up. Basically, she was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, basically, she's going to, like, assault 7 of 9 or something. And, like, Chakotay is like, you are a senior staff officer. You better work it out. So so that kind of left like that. But then
at least this is probably before the time that 7 bit her.
But then we get 7 of 9 basically says, I have something in astrometrics. You need to come see it right now.
And she's like, oh, look, she's barking. She's giving you orders now. And he's like, oh, whatever.
Janeway's there too, and they meet at astrometrics, and 7 then shows that she has found a Starfleet vessel.
At first, she goes, "Janeway's like, it's a ship. So what?
It's a ship. What?"
I just think it's hilarious that Janeway's so dismissive of like a ship. It's like, really?
Let's go explore it. Let's contact them and find out what they have to say.
Have they seen a nebula lately?
Have you seen this nebula?
But don't take their word for it. You don't want to do that anymore?
I don't care.
Tanya loves it.
Well, if Tanya loves it. All right, so
that the ship is in the Alpha Quadrant and that there's this huge relay station that it's, they said is apparently abandoned. Just this huge network.
Well, if the Hirogen are running it, then it is pretty much abandoned. Like, I can't believe that one Hirogen guy is sitting there like, this is art, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
It's like, I'm not a hunter.
So through this network, she must have been scanning it, and then she got through the network, she could tap into the network itself, and it goes all the way across to the Alpha Quadrant, where they see the ship. It's a Federation ship, and they from there they can make they're going to try to make a contact to
it. A phone call.
And what they're going to do is they're going to try to mask their message, and they're going to try to get it through without being detected. So they make the adjustments for that. Janeway tries to make the phone call, but it doesn't.
Bounces back.
And she's getting her own voice coming back, and they decide, well, this is not working. So we have to do something else, because that was too simplistic.
Okay, well, now their explanation is that the message was too small. There was not enough data, for whatever, to make it across the network. There was like degradation, but that's the whole reason why there's a network. See, networks work is because once you go through a node, it's supposed to reamplify it so that right. It can go through. This is how modern telecommunications works. Once it goes to a node, it gets reamplified and then resent out.
Right.
It's not the same message all the way over, and then it just fades out. It
makes sense. It's like AC/DC, you know?
Yeah.
You don't do direct current all the way from Buffalo, New York to New York City. You have alternating current so you can go back and forth, and it can... You have strength in your voltage, you know, so.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's how cable. I mean, cable companies, you see them working on places that aren't homes. That's where the signal's going to. It gets reamplified from there and then sent out. It's not like the one signal is just straight to your home. It goes multiple spots.
No, I get
this
it.
This network shows multiple nodes.
I know. It's Voyager.
That's true. They have bad science of
they
Voyager.
They just don't care. They're just like, it's magic.
So their solution is to find a larger file.
Let's send something really important.
Let's send all of Doctor's fan mail. Maybe one of them will get through. Like, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah, from Virtuoso. So they basically... almost kidnap the doctor. They turn him off.
They don't explain anything to him. They turn him off, put him in his mobile emitter.
And they put him on an astromatrix, and they said, you're going on a trip. And he's like, what if I don't come back? I'm like, I don't know.
This is like, I can't believe Janeway is so flippant about this. I mean, sure, it's a great opportunity to reach someone from the Alpha Quadrant.
But what are they
going to do? It's a big opportunity. But what if the doctor gets lost?
Right.
Like, if they're worried about this, like, magical, you know, degradation, even though it's going through things and getting reamplified, whatever. Right. Even though, you know, communications work the way it does, they're scared it's a possibility that he's going to be lost.
Right.
They tell him this.
Yes.
And they're still 60,000 light years from home.
Right.
They still think that's another, like, 60 years, even though it should only be, like, 4 or 5 years at this point, given the math.
All right. Don't get into that.
Other episodes.
Yes.
But they still say 60,000 light years. So, like, they think it's still going to be 60 years before they get 60 years without a real doctor. That is a huge risk. And I don't think the risk of losing the doctor is worth a phone call. You know what I mean?
Well, Janeway disagrees with you. So the doctor is sent through this network grid, and they end up on he rematerializes on a Starfleet ship different than his in a different sick bay. It seems to be empty. He asks the ship's computer a bunch of questions, gets some limited answers, and that they are in the Alpha Quadrant, and the ship is the USS Prometheus. Then he finds in the sick bay that there's a crewman that's dead, and then he finds another crew member, and it's barely alive. He tries to save that crew member, but the crew member basically has got, you know, been shot, and he says that the Romulans have taken over the ship.
He wakes him up in excruciating pain. It's like, what's going on? Tell me
what's going
Romulans.
On. Romulans. So... on the Prometheus bridge, the Romulans have taken over, and that they're taking the ship. They have stolen the ship, and the ship is going to Romulan space. That's where they're heading off to.
This makes absolutely no sense.
What?
For lots of different reasons. They're pretty far from Romulus at this point. They're on the edge of...
The Alpha Quadrant. The
Beta Quadrant?
Well, the Beta Quadrant and Alpha Quadrant are weird, because if you look on the map, Alpha Quadrant and Beta Quadrant are, like, split right down the middle of the Federation.
Well, but, I mean, like, if you look at the thing as a donut, if you cut it or a pizza, you look at the like a pizza and you cut it in the quarters.
Right.
The bottom left hand side is the Alpha Quadrant. Bottom right hand side is the Beta Quadrant. Mm-hmm. The top right hand side is the Delta Quadrant. And the way they show this network is that the network pretty much spans most of the Delta Quadrant down into the Beta Quadrant. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I remember right, like the Romulan Empire is. Like, on the northern-ish section of, like, the Alpha Quadrant? Hmm. I guess it's sort of close to Beta. I don't know. But, like, it just seems like where the network ends, it's like they're more closer in Klingon territory. Mm-hmm. So if, like, Romulans hanging out in Klingon territory, that's kind of weird. Also, because the Dominion War is happening, their location for the Prometheus is kind of weird. Also, the Prometheus is a experimental, like, badass ship that splits into three parts.
Right.
And they weren't able to stop the Romulans from invading. Who was their captain? This captain that deserves to be on the incompetent captains list.
Well,
to lose your ship to Romulans.
Well, that captain died, so you don't have to worry about them having
it. He is incompetent. You lose the experimental ship, and then the Romulans are like, oh, we've never used the tri-attack mode before.
Well, I mean, to the Romulan, maybe they had like a secret agent that took over the ship, and then they beamed them all aboard.
Secret? Agent Man. I know that song.
Good. So.
It's like, oh my God.
Well, then the ship comes under attack, and there is a Federation ship that's chasing after them. At this point, we see what's so special about the Prometheus. It splits into three different ships. This seems insane.
I love the Prometheus design. It's so cool.
I'm not a fan, but it's interesting. I'll give it that. At the same point, so he doesn't like the doctor. Really doesn't have a clue what's happening, other than the ship is taken over by the Romulans. He is in the Alpha Quadrant, and somehow the ship went through some kind of transformation. That's about all he knows, and he doesn't really know what happened because he's stuck in the sick bay. This is when, during the fight, one of the Romulans are injured, and the one of the other second command Romulans takes this injured Romulan to the sick bay, and then the doctor just pretends like he just appeared, and he's like, "Oh, how can I assist you?" And
how do I know you're not a like my primary function is to fix people?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter who you are.
He acts very nonchalant, and he's like, "This is just my job. I just fix people. I don't
ask questions.
I'm just a program." And so she's like, okay, so, and then she just, you know, she just tell me when he's all set. So at that point, he realizes that he's going to have to need some help, and he then activates that ship's
EMH.
Yeah, you know, holographic doctor. And that is the character who is played by Andy Dick. So.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
And Andy Dick doesn't recognize him, which is pretty funny.
So. Well, he's only been programmed with all the people who are on,
right.
on the ship.
Right. And this is and he kind of has like this like cutting remarks about the doctors that he has terrible bedside manner. And he had like, oh,
you must be the EMH Mark One.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you are so antiquated, basically. And the doctor's like, what? So, and then they have this like,
lots of banter back and forth.
He's trying to show off to him that how great he is and all the adventures he's been on. That
makes I have a penis.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to.
That's basically and then that's the one thing Andy Dick responds to. He's like,
download it?
Could you download your penis directories into my directory?
Yeah, exactly.
I need a penis.
So,
it's like bribes him, like, because the Andy Dick's doctor doesn't want to do anything. So basically, Robert Picardo basically bribes him with a penis.
That's a good bribe.
Yeah.
That's worth it. And he's a holograph. What does it matter? So they
patch up the Romulan wounded person, and they kind of just leave him on the table. And then they start making plans on how they're going to take over the ship. They're going to basically anesthetize the crew by putting like some kind of, I forgot what the drug was, but it was some kind of like neurozone or something.
Neurozine
drug that was going to be put through
an aerosol. Yeah, the ventilation system.
Yeah, they're going to shoot through the air system, and so basically from what Andy Dick's character has to crawl through the Jeffries tubes, and he has to then, you know,
wait for
the doctor to release the ventilations to so he can send all that neurozine through the ship. The doctor comes up with a plan that he goes up on the bridge, says, "Yeah, he's all right. He'll be back up and running soon. You're injured.
With you guys, comrade. I'd be sick."
I did detect some kind of like stomach flu kind of thing, and
cramps are really bad. You don't want to be.
He's like, well, if you want
to the bathroom.
And the Romulan commander was like, okay, finish your scans, fine. You know, because he just didn't want to like take the chance.
Well, the doctor starts like fiddling. He's like pretending to do scans. I'm just like, I don't know why he didn't like at least do a preliminary scan on their bodies as he walked by. Because he starts fiddling with one of the computers, and then the Romulan captain walks over and says, you haven't taken any scans. And it's just like, he was like waving the thing. How come he didn't even pick up fake scans?
Why didn't he just...
It makes no sense.
Why wouldn't he just set that up? And then secondly, on top of that, you know, why didn't he just have like, you know, like I'm just interfacing with the computer so I can make sure that everything's working right or whatever like that. And how does the Romulan commander know that he's like what's on his tricorder and how to read a Federation tricorder?
How to use an experimental ship? Which
they did say that the one of the navigators or the helmsman was like, I'm not familiar with these, you know, these controls.
But I mean, theoretically, they should be familiar with Indiana. Like that's the thing in Voyager, like. So many aliens take over Voyager. They just like hop on the ship and they just know how to use it.
Well, it's like Star Trek 3. Scotty goes, you know, like, you know, getting the ship to run is no problem. Is it reading Klingon?
That's hard.
You know, which makes sense. It's like, yeah, I don't know how this all works because it's all in Klingon. So,
but that's the thing. Like, you know, it's English for all the other aliens. Like, it's just, I know. Well, they instantly can just take over the ship with, like, no problem.
Yeah, everyone just speaks the language.
But somehow Scotty doesn't know how to use a ship because it's a little bit futurized. Makes no sense.
Right.
Relics reference there.
Yes. Good episode. So, back on Voyager, they're waiting for a return message from the doctor. They don't get anything. And they make some kind of, like, banter between Chakotay and Janeway that they're writing their letters, they're polishing up their letters to send to their families, you know. So
Janeway's like, oh, I'm not doing anything.
I'm sending something to Mark.
And then like
Chakotay's, do we ever like, see her husband like at the end of it? Like, I don't remember her at the very final episode, her ever reuniting with her husband.
The very final episode is the very final shot is Voyager flying around San Francisco.
I know.
Fucking fireworks. There's no resolution.
No. But I mean, like they have the whole party where she decides to go onto the trip. She gets all her, like, you know. But I don't remember seeing Mark there.
I want to say that he got married while she was gone. I think he married somebody else. I want to say that was one of the letters that she got back in a later episode.
Oh, okay.
That she's like, oh, he got married to somebody else because I was gone or whatever. I don't know.
Can't wait. Sorry. Sorry, babe.
Sorry, babe. 70 years is a long time to wait. My penis isn't getting any harder.
Unless your doctor can send me one of those algorithms.
Yeah, the outlawed Viagra in the future. We don't have that stuff no more.
Damn.
And then we have Paris in sickbay summoning Harry Kim, his girlfriend, up.
Oh, this is the dumbest sequence. This should have just been cut.
He's like, Harry,
I cannot.
Look around.
I'm a pilot. I'm not a doctor. Oh, really? Why have you been training, cross-training all this time?
I want to know why they haven't been cross-training any of the science officers who wear blue, who should be, you know, have some medical knowledge.
I don't know.
How does a guy who likes building race cars, likes flying fast ships, and who was forced to garden in jail somehow, like, have medical knowledge? Like, where did he pick this up?
I don't know.
Like, it makes no sense that
No, it doesn't.
Any random blue shirt should have more medical knowledge just because they're science.
I agree. And so he's like, you have to reconstruct the doctor program. And he's like, because I know you know how to work, you know, do hologram programs. And Harry Kim's like, that was a huge program. What are you talking about? You know, so and they do this experiment. And Harry Kim.
Only good part of the scene is like just the hologram 2.0 doctor reciting Grey's Anatomy from chapter, like from the prologue.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it's cool that he can like, he's giving these lines and Paris is talking right now.
Yelling in his face and he's just like totally ignoring it. Like,
not even, yeah. It's
pretty cool. Ricardo's so good.
Yeah. But, it's just such a stupid story part. It's like, it has nothing to do with it. It really has nothing to do. Like, why did they put this filler in? It's such a stupid B story.
It is a really bad B story.
Yeah. Anyways, like I said, Robert Picardo giving his lines is pretty cool at this point. But besides that, there's no real point.
No, and then he's been captured by the Romulans.
Yeah.
Andy Dick saves him.
Yeah, so it was cool because they were like, "Oh, this guy's a hologram." So this is
I think he's some kind of operative, like he's told from somewhere.
Yeah, which is kind of a cool idea if you think about it.
Remote hologram. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so they could send somebody in and do some crazy, like, you know.
Because one of the cool things about the Prometheus is that the entire ship is covered with holo emitters. So only if the Hirogen would have captured that ship, they wouldn't have had to convert it.
I know. Get with it, Hirogens.
Yeah, come on, Hirogens. You've got this giant sensor network. Why didn't you sense that ship?
Because they're dummies.
I just wonder, like, on the far side of the Klingon Empire, if they're, like, they've been fighting the Hirogen.
Oh, maybe. That's a good point.
That'd be interesting, because, I mean, the way the Beta Quadrant wraps up, like, I think the Klingons are kind of up there. And
I'll have to get my Star Trek Atlas out.
Yeah, you've got the Stellar Cartography book.
Yeah, I do. I
haven't got to look at your book yet. We should, like, look at it, like, look and see how far Cardassia is from...
I
want to say it's close.
I've pulled out all the maps and I have looked at them, and they're pretty interesting. But it's, you know,
it's a map.
It's a map. So it's like I don't
a fake map.
A fake map is on top of that. So, the Romulan commander, he's changed course. Instead of going to Romulus, he's going to meet with Tal Shiar.
Tal Shiar. He's going to meet Sela, probably.
Probably.
Because Sela's always involved with Romulan stuff.
Of course she is. And so that's their plan. And that when they're interrogating the doctor. And at the very last point where they're going to start...
Turning him off.
Well, pulling apart his algorithm, his program, you know, number by number, code by code.
Don't take my penis!
Ooh.
He's got a variable penis. The girl, she's like,
look at
it have pointed ears?
Look at the hog on this guy. that's when Andy Dick does send out the chemicals. He learned a way to reroute the ventilation.
He tricked the computer into opening up all the ventilation shafts without doing it the other way.
Without doing the doctor way. Why he didn't do that in the beginning would have been much easier.
Who knows?
But so the Romulan crew is completely knocked out. So now it's this the doctor and Andy Dick's character, and they're trying to
figure out how to use the ship.
And the doctor had limited training on like how to fly a shuttlecraft
on a holodeck,
but that's about it.
So, beep 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 beep.
So
what's that?
What's that? What's that?
Beep 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 beep.
That doesn't sound good.
We should just let the reading robot sound.
Da-da-da. Well, anyways.
they stop a warp core breach in progress. Then another thing happens.
Yeah. So basically, everything the doctor does messes something else from the ship, and then it just gets worse and worse. And then three Romulan warbirds basically catch up with Prometheus, and they're going to take it over. And they're trying to fire their weapons at it, and they can't figure that out. And that's
like they put the shields up.
Oh, that's right, because then there's like...
Stop breathing down my neck. It's a simulation.
What's funny...
my neck.
Well, the funny thing is that the Romulan commander is like, you know, who is this? Who is this? It's like,
you first.
Drop your shields.
You first.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
who's not first?
It's a funny little like exchange between the Romulans and the Doctor. He's trying to like work around him and stuff like that and get
Like, oh yeah, he had a case of the clap. He's in the. He's in the med bay. Getting that looked at.
Man, just see the rash on that guy. Then the Federation ships come in. I think Defiant's there too, isn't it?
It's their two Defiant class ships.
Okay, there's only two. They don't really say what it is, but
they're not. Yeah, they're not the Defiant, but they're its class. Like the NX-03 and NX-04 of its design. I don't know what their numbers are.
But. And the battle's pretty intense. The Prometheus is kind of like not doing anything. But then all of a sudden the Prometheus puts the Prometheus special action and it splits up in three. Apparently it can just fight on its own. It's like robot controlled.
You have to give it a target and an attack vector.
Yeah.
So it'll do like
and it just does it by itself.
Remote controlled ship awesomeness.
And then it just.
This is why I don't know how they got captured by Romulans. Like, this is like an unstoppable.
Well, that's why
it gives you three targets.
I don't think a ship attacked the Prometheus and they got on. I think somehow they had probably an operative.
Yeah.
And they, you know, infiltrated it before they even, like, left space.
It would have been nice to see, like, one of the, like, the operative going around looking like a human just to kind of, like.
Maybe it was the guy from Drumhead.
Like, it was like a quarter Romulan.
Yeah. He's like, I'll show him.
I'll steal the Prometheus.
Yeah, exactly. During this time, too, there's the network that they're
using. Picard, can I transfer?
Nope. All right, fine. During this time, while they're trying to monitor the message from the Doctor, they get a call back. Like, who's on our network kind of thing? Like, who's using our phone?
That's right. It's a Hirogen. This is the first time we see the Hirogen.
And he's kind of masked. You don't really see much about him. But then they decide that they're going to, you know, they keep cutting him off. And then they try again. And the 7 of 9 sends, like, an electrical shock through and shocks the guy. So, which... we'll get into later.
How did that not short out the whole network? But, you know, who knows?
Yeah. How do you send a message and shock somebody? So the battle's won.
It's like a Facebook poke.
Yeah. Except it really goes into your bum.
Well, you know.
So
different strokes are different folks.
Well, sure. But how does Facebook do it?
We have to ask Mark Zuckerberg.
I guess. The Romulans are defeated by the Federation and the Prometheus. We don't really see the wrap-up other than just Andy Dick and the Doctor kind of, like, getting along for the last little bit, like, you know.
They recount their story.
Right.
As only two holograms can, as unepically as possible.
And then they get a message that the Doctor's coming through, and they bring him back aboard the Voyager. And the Doctor basically says, he tells him briefly what happened with him, and that he gave the Federation the message that Voyager is not lost, or just way out into the...
Because the Federation officially declared them lost 14 months prior to this event.
Right. So their families know that they're not lost. They're just way out in space.
Oops, I got married.
Oops. Sorry.
Oops, I did it. Oh, sorry.
No. Anyway,
bad so that... 90s pop.
So that's how where it kind of ends there. Dave, what are your feelings about this episode?
I remember it being better than it was. Like, I just remember Andy Dick being in it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that was a funny episode.
Andy Dick is pretty funny, like, how he just, like, turns himself off.
Yeah, and, like, he's trying to climb into the ventilation shaft backwards.
He doesn't know how to do it, right?
He's like, I don't know how to function. Well, he says he's not complete. Like, he says he's still, like, you know, he's basically a prototype.
Right.
For a prototype ship. So
right, right. Which makes sense in a lot of ways, you know. They don't have it all worked out. But,
It just feels like a really weird filler episode with no real rhyme or reason about it, really. It's just like a jokey episode, which I mean, I guess is okay, but
yeah,
it just had lots of weird science, bad logic. Your operative ideas are really the only thing that makes sense about.
It's a cool idea.
It's never established one way or the other, but it's the only way to me that makes sense, especially with a ship that's got like a multi-vector attack mode. Which, I mean, the thing is to give your enemy more than one target to shoot at, which makes it.
Right.
Which is, I think, it's a cool idea. I love the design of the Prometheus. I like how it's got like two sets of nacelles. So like, unlike the next gen ship, if it separates and it has to escape, like, you know, one's only going to be running on impulse. Right. So at least this way you've got like two parts with warp capability, so that, you know, if something bad happens, you can at least, you know, warp out of there.
Right.
With, you know, at least a third of your ship.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a really cool design. Rick Sternbach did a great job. I know Guy Davis is a big fan of Rick Sternbach. I like the design. I like how it's got an arrowhead type, primary hull. It's kind of cool looking. I wish I knew, like, the scale of it, though.
It looks big.
I would hope it would have to be with, like, how it separates in the three parts.
Yeah, right, right.
I wonder if, like, it might have a low crew complement if, like, part of it is, like, all...
Well, it sounded like it did, so it didn't seem like there was a big of a crew. But, I mean, we don't really know.
Yeah, we never see the ship ever again, which is kind of disappointing. But, it makes sense because they're in Delta Quadrant the entire time, but it's a nice middle of the road, not terrible, but not great episode. What about you?
A couple issues. First, I don't really jive with the idea of the Prometheus splitting into three parts. It just seems silly. It's just like. And the way it splits, too. Like, it's like a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the top bread, here's the meat, and here's the lower part of the bread. Now it's a sandwich going to attack you. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't seem very practical. And not just that, it's like, and it doesn't need anybody to man that at all. You know, it's all like robot automatic control. It just seems silly. I mean, even when Enterprise D separates, you need somebody in the saucer section, you need somebody in the battle bridge, you know. And we're not that much far in the future from that. I mean, a couple of years, so.
Well, it's at least. Not at least seven.
Yeah, but that's not that far. So, anyways, so that I'm not crazy about the Prometheus. I like the idea of a prototype ship and everything like that.
I mean, if Moore's Law is still in effect where. Your number of transistors double every 2 years. It's doubled almost four times. So for things to become that more automated in 7 years in the future isn't.
But that doesn't. I mean, but we haven't. I mean, you look at Moore's Law. I mean, from the time when I was born, you know, I grew up. My neighborhood basically looks the same that I grew up in compared to the, you know, does now. I mean, it's like other than cars looking a little different, people talking on cell phones. I mean, it's like. Things don't change that drastically, so.
We're also talking military technology versus.
I agree.
Neighborhood.
I agree, but but we're talking like 30, 40 years.
Yeah,
not much difference. So, that all said, I'm just not a huge fan of the Prometheus, the idea of the ship. I don't have really. I mean,
if two parts would probably make more sense, especially that third part is like SOL; it has no warp capability,
right?
So two parts would make a lot more sense to the Prometheus. Maybe future versions are just two parts. Maybe this tri-part didn't work out. I don't know.
So yeah, the Prometheus not crazy about, but I mean, I can jive with it. It's not. It doesn't bother me that much.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Andy Dick's fun to watch. A little humor, and I like the banter between him and the Doctor. That's probably the best part of the whole show.
It is the back and forth between them. The Memory Alpha kind of described it as Frasier-esque between Frasier and his brother
Niles Crane.
Yeah.
So that is fun. There's other things. Okay, so through the network. That they're piggybacking on. 7 of 9 shocking somebody through it really makes no sense to me whatsoever. So you send a message
and that message shocks them. I mean, even if you have some kind of weird hack, maybe you
can hack. She hacked the thing, the overload.
Maybe you. I guess there's a slight possibility, but then you'd have to know where that person is. You'd have to
what kind of console they're standing at.
Yeah, and how to overload it somehow, you know, and know the specs and diagrams that you can do that. So,
but at the same time, like it's still like Star Trek logic. It's not even bad Voyager logic. It's the same bad Star Trek logic that your consoles explode. I mean, they're basically keyboards.
Yeah,
like these things explode and send, like, shoot out rocks.
Right, no, I know.
And people fly over. This has happened ever since TOS days.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
like it happened in Next Gen.
Sure.
I don't know if it happens in. I guess it happens a little bit in Deep Space Nine once they get
Deep Space Nine on the Defiant.
Once they get the Defiant, yeah.
And on the runabouts and stuff like that, things like that will happen.
But like it's just like Star Trek logic. How why their computers just explode in your face? It's just like why are there like. Transistors or capacitors that big in your because I mean the only thing like I went to school for electronics like back in the day and like literally as far as I know the only thing that can explode are capacitors because they just sit there and hold the charge and so if you overload a capacitor those can explode but other things they're just kind of passive
right
well
so that did make a lot of sense like I think I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but that so the audio message is not getting through, so they decided to send the doctor's program through, so that would work better, which would seem like be like a even bigger file to go through. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, that's what they were saying. They're saying that the file was too small to make it through. It degraded. So if we send a big file...
That doesn't make any sense, though.
So if we send a larger file... So if we send, like, a 1 kilobyte file, it gets turned into no kilobytes.
So,
but if we send a terabyte file, maybe by the time it gets there, it'll still be, you know, half a terabyte.
It just doesn't make
like,
any sense.
But that's why I was thinking, like, the doctor should be missing his arm, missing a leg, like...
Or just doesn't function.
Yeah, just broken, his dick's missing, who knows.
Damn it!
Hell no! Well, I'm missing those subroutines, I can't even bribe Andy Dick with a dick.
Bribe him with a dick. The last big glaring issue, other than the Kim and Paris thing, which was just dumb B story. So if I have a file on my computer and I'm like, Dave, I'm going to send you this file. I'll send you a file and you get it. I still have that file on my computer. Why does the doctor only appear? Why can't they copy the file and send it? On there.
So many times I've wondered why they've never copied the doctor. I think they've said, I think one time they say, oh, his program's too big to copy.
That's bullshit.
It's just, but, yeah. Well, Star Trek, most of Star Trek, I mean, save from, like, Enterprise. Enterprise is when Star Trek kind of entered into, like, the internet era. Pre-Enterprise, they kind of just didn't know how things worked. They didn't know how things would work in the future. I mean, like in Next Gen, you see them have pads. And in Voyager, and like, sometimes you see them holding, like, a dozen pads. It's like, the pads are basically, like, you know, their version of iPads. We have those now, but the problem is, they have dozens of them. Like, they didn't realize how storage was going to work.
But by the time this episode, this was like, what did we say, 1998, you did have computers. You could send files, and those files didn't delete when you sent the file off your computer to somebody else. It's just a silly notion. And anybody with, like, some kind of computer degree would be like, well, the doctor would still be on the ship. So the the Tom Paris, Harry Kim B story would be null and void.
Well, maybe he's like a Dropbox. Maybe it's like once you move it off your computer, it's just sitting in the cloud. And the cloud is the network gets sent through, so it moved directly from the one computer to the other.
Dave,
computer.
That doesn't make any sense. That just doesn't work. I'm sorry. If you send a file to somebody through a message, like I send you an audio file.
Yeah. I send you the cover arts just to get your A-OK on them.
That doesn't all of a sudden disappear and like, could you send it back to me, Aaron? Because, man, I could really use it now. I got posted with the show. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know.
And there's like multiple versions of it. I send you the JPEG, and even if it did leave my computer, I still have the PSD.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just like...
What's up with that? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, somebody should have just put the brakes on somewhere. It's like, guys, this doesn't make any sense. We gotta reel it back. This is the part that drives me crazy about. I mean, we see it periodically through Star Trek here and there, but Voyager is just like huge. I mean, we just talked about the sailing ship and the tachyons and all the other issues that were
going. Being a wooden ship in space. Like, it's not the fact that it's wood. It's just the fact that, is it airtight?
Is it airtight?
Like, how can you make... Like,
how to get out there? How do they get up in space? How does it land? How does tachyons work with a sail ship? I mean, just like there's so many other issues, like the warp bubble that's not there around it. Anyways, I'm not getting back. If you want to hear the sailing, a solar sail ship and the problems that Deep Space Nine had...
Listen to last week's episode.
Yeah, last week's episode, which was interesting, but...
It was a fun episode.
It was a fun episode, but this doesn't make any sense either. It's like, this is what drives me crazy. It's like, these guys are getting paid good money to write an episode. And yes, maybe they can write dialogue, but the actual logic of the story completely falls apart.
It does, but I think they had to, like, raise the stakes. Like, you know, oh no, what if we lose the Doctor? You know, it's...
It still doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
It's just that's the thing that drives me crazy about it. It's this episode technically is not a bad episode.
No, it's not a bad episode. It's like I said, it's a nice middle of the road episode.
You can watch this episode, be totally into it, enjoy it. You know, you get the Doctor, you get Andy Dick, you get lots of little jokes. I mean, this is mostly a joke episode.
It is, and Robert Picardo was super proud. He got 6 of his own personal jokes.
That's great.
That he would call Brandon Braga up and be like, hey, I got these, you know, holographic jokes. And
right.
Like, he said 6 of them made it into this episode.
You got Romulan Warbirds. You got a whole Starfleet battle.
It's the first time you actually see Romulan Warbirds CG.
Oh, really? CG?
It's the first time you see a CG model of the Romulan Warbirds.
It's awesome. And you got a whole, you know, battle scene. You know, between the Federation and the Romulan Warbirds.
So. You had an accidental torpedo hit against one of the Defiant-class ships.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's really cool. So, I mean, there's some cool parts to this episode, for sure.
It's very well done. And the Prometheus and the Prometheus Bridge was a refit of the Enterprise E-Bridge, blew me away, because, like, the color's completely different. Like, they look totally, like, just got a giant paint roller and just... Change that whole whole bridge. Because, I mean, in Next Gen, it was, like, really dark. I mean, in the movies, it was really dark.
Right.
And this is all this, like, bright, like, light, very light gray and almost white, almost, on the inside. It was kind of very different from a Star Trek.
I guess it's how you light it. Maybe they just put different color lights in there. I don't know. Like, the Prometheus idea of a ship is a pretty cool idea. I like the idea of a prototype, like, war vessel.
And they said the
Romulans, you know, took over.
And they said it could go it goes at 9.9 warp. Yeah. Like, it's made to go at that speed without, like, being hard on the ship, which is kind of cool.
No, it's a cool, the whole thing's a cool idea. I mean, it's very fun. It's just that, you know, there's lots of little angles. And
from a science, from how computers basically work, from how the internet works. And it just kind of, like, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's little things that just, like, you know, like, gnaw at me. Like,
makes me wonder about Discovery and how they're going to handle computer-ish type things. I hope they do a better job.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I do too. But, yeah, good episode. It's worth watching. I mean, with those glaring issues, it's still a fun episode.
We nitpick, but it's because we love it. It's just like, why are you making silly, dumb mistakes?
Well, that's my problem. It's my big issue with, like, an episode like this. And, like, with the last week's episode when we talked about the Explorers. Just, like, it could have been a great episode. And they just did, like, lots of, like, dumb choices. Like...
Or they didn't think things all the way through.
Well, like,
but they were trying too hard last time to make a parallel between, like, a sea ship on this, you know, wooden ship.
Yeah, but it didn't have to be wood. It could have been, you know, he could have been like, it's a steel ship, and it has ceramic tiles on the face of it, so it can go into reentry, just like, you know, a rocket ship or a space shuttle does. It just seems silly that they would be like, no, it's made of wood. Well, doesn't wood catch on fire? You know, especially when it goes into the atmosphere. Just just come on, guys. It doesn't, you know.
You're How do they find remains of it on Cardassia?
I actually thought what would have been funny is that they...
maybe the sails are the heat shield.
Well, that's an interesting idea. Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Unless they all fall off!
Yeah. Well, the other thing is I thought would be a fun idea for the Explorers episode that the crash ship that they found on it, that the tachyons took them back in time to early Cardassia, and Jake and Sisko crash on Cardassia, and that was their ship.
Gee, Dad.
And they die on Cardassia, you know, like 800 years ago.
Gee, Dad, I've watched you die once. I don't think I want to do it again.
But it'd be
that should be the next Jake episode we do.
Oh, the one where he's going through all that. He's
keeping... Or Jake gets old.
Yeah, Jake gets old. Yes. Those are the things that drive me crazy. Is like, you're getting paid good money to write these episodes. Can you just think it through a little bit? And in the writing rooms and the editors, isn't there anybody like going like, wait a second, this needs to be tightened up a little bit, you know? So,
well, they didn't have Ronald D. Moore for very long.
Okay, but
I think Ronald D. Moore was a bit stricter with writing.
I'm just saying, somebody should have been putting the brakes on once in a while.
Yeah, Voyager had a very, from what I understand, had a very loose and fast writing room.
Like, whatever, man, I got this idea where a monkey steals a banana.
From Janeway.
From Janeway, and they go to warp, and the banana turns
into a lizard.
It's awesome! Science!
Who needs it?
He's like,
this is science fiction. It's like, it doesn't have to be right.
Science fiction means science can be magic. That's the other thing is it drives me. That's the crazy thing is to me is all the time, like if someone they can't explain to, it's like, oh, it's science, but it's technically just magic, just to push the story along, you know. So, anywho, yeah, good episode, but not
great,
not wonderful. Could be really good. Andy Dick was like. Not as funny as I thought he would be. When you look at him...
I'm pretty sure they had to rein him way back and, like, the script way back.
They shouldn't have. They should have been just, like, totally...
I don't think they wanted to do, like, slapstick. I think as far as they got was him trying to enter the Jeffries tube backwards.
That was funny, and then him turning himself off and just, you know, how he would get, like, nervous, you know, so... But anyways...
When I was reading the Memory Alpha for it, he said it was, like... You know, like almost like doing Shakespeare. You had to get in a totally different type of like mindset for doing Star Trek versus like, you know, the other stuff.
That, well, it's like the techno babble they always say is like the techno babble is just ridiculous that they got to like remember all that shit to say. So
I mean, it wasn't too bad. I mean,
his lines weren't too bad, but I'm just saying that that you know, Picardo had to like do the Grey's Anatomy. You know,
oh yeah,
lines, you know, so
like. But that's not technical, but that's like real science.
Well, it's still to the layman.
It's very technical.
Yeah, to the layman, it's techno babble. It's like you're just saying things don't mean anything. So you're just like to you, it's just like you're saying crazy crap, you know. So
and I just the Memory Alpha for this is actually pretty extensive.
Yeah,
a little bit more for than the other ones, and it was a lot of stuff going back and forth about you know Andy Dick's take on it and Robert Picardo's take on it, and Robert Picardo was like apprehensive that like TV Guide or some other things would be upset and it would like run with weird titles of them being bosom buddies or like or he was worried about like, you know, Picardo loves Dick and
oh jeez.
or Picardo and Dick inseparable, like things like that. Like he was really worried about that and he said they kind of broke ice with each other with like Andy Dick saying like you're like it's Picardo. Like, you're one letter off from Captain Picard.
Right.
And then, like, Picardo was like, how'd you grow up with your last name Dick? You know, like, yeah. That's got to be a hard name to grow up with. So they're making fun of each other's surnames.
That's funny.
To kind of, like, break the ice with each other.
Right, and, right, right.
It was kind of cool seeing, like, you know, how, and then the Doctor really enjoyed having Andy Dick on the show. And Andy Dick was, like, the whole cast was super... You know, warm and responsive. You know, to
right.
being on the show, and
right.
he couldn't wear his glasses. And I guess his eyesight is so bad, the contacts can't fix it.
Some people are out like that. They're like that.
It didn't say that, but Andy Dick said he was always tripping over parts of the set and like running into things because he couldn't wear his glasses.
Oh wow!
But it didn't say anything about contacts. I don't know, but I just assume like his vision so bad contacts couldn't fix it. Because, like, why wouldn't you wear contacts? But
why didn't you fix that, Voyager? It's your science.
There's science. No, it's magic.
It's magic.
Let's pull out his eyes. Give him Geordi visor.
Give him Geordi visors.
Give him a visor.
Right.
Just rub a. I'm a blind hologram.
Why not?
Why not? But yeah, the memory app was interesting on this. It was long, a lot longer than
I noticed that. I was reading some of it, but a lot of production information and a lot of quotes too. But
yeah.
Anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, this is a year Voyager, baby. We're giving you more Voyager on Synthaholics.
I hope you enjoy it. I
hope you enjoy it.
Because I'm just getting through.
With a side of dick.
No!
Well, what about you? Anything else?
Nah, it's a good episode. It's worth watching. It's just... when you just look at a critical eye, you just go, what?
How many Andy Dicks out of 5 would you give?
I'd give it 4 Andy Dicks.
It's, out of 5?
Yeah. It could have been a 5 Andy. It could have been 5 Dicks, but the little problems, the technical problems, I think the writers, it's really a writer's issue. It comes down to, and a lot of Voyager, to me, is writer issues. It's very rarely the actors giving poor performances. Very rarely the effects being shitty. It's mostly it's the writers just doing dumb, not thinking through.
Oh, I totally agree. Because like I said, like you know, I don't like Janeway a lot. I don't like Chakotay a lot. But I think a lot of it is the way they were written.
I like Janeway. You know, I like how I like part. Some parts that she comes out are wonderful in how she delivers her lines.
Oh, the delivery of her last line, we're like, oh, 60,000 light years little is like, you know, makes...
Seems a little closer.
It seems a little closer. And like that kind of got me in the feels a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
she's got that little...
She's got a really good delivery.
She emotes really well. I mean, so yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the actors. There's nothing wrong with the effects. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the concept of it. It's just that they do like dumb... choices on their like their writing, so whatever.
Yeah, nothing's perfect, and unfortunately Star Trek will never be perfect, but we love it for what it is.
Right.
Our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. You can find him, I don't know, can you find him anywhere?
No, he's disappeared.
He is invisible. The rest of our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Visit our website, synthaholics.com. You can find us on the EL Twitters at Synthaholic Duo. I personally am at David_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackbird2004.
Guys at GS Davis Art. And if you like pictures of liquor and different things that I make, oh, I actually just did a tutorial this week on making your homemade sweet and sour sauce. Not sweet and sour sauce, sweet and sour mix. For drinks.
Stick your dick in it.
Stick your dick. No, but that'd be really sticky, lemony, and sour.
Is that what I'm drinking?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, I made a tutorial for the homemade sweet and sour mix. I put it up on Instagram, so it's got like measurements and directions for all the different pitchers. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's not just booze. I did a tutorial, sort of, so... And that's also at David_J_Duncan on the Instagram.
Cool. Hey, if you want to support the show, a great way is go on to iTunes. You can rate review us there. You get to give us 5 stars preferably and give us a little comment of what you like about the show. That helps people get our show gets noticed and put up on the charts a little more, that people bumps us up a little more. Also, if you have a little change in your pocket, go on jing-a-ling-a-ling, definitely come to our Patreon. You can go through our webpage. We have a Patreon button. Or you can go to patreon.com/synthaholics and a buck a month. It's not much to ask for. If you have a little more to give, we greatly appreciate it. And it just helps keep the show going. As Dave said, too, If you want to email us with anything, if you feel differently about Message in a Bottle, if you think something was amazing that we missed, or some other point that we should have talked about, definitely email us.
Let us know about it, or you can send us a voice message too, because we're happy to play voice messages.
We'll play
on
your
the
voice
air.
Message, and if you give us permission to talk, to say your name and tell you what you know to read your email on there, or to play it, we'd love to do that.
Yeah, so. we haven't got an email in a long time. Email us, please.
Yeah, email us. So that would be great.
Josh, you can email us. We don't mind if you email us again. It's been a while since we've had a Joshua email.
A Joshua email. I kind of think we have a Josh email corner.
We were getting them pretty consistently for a while.
We were there for a little bit. It was those winter months. He must have been cooped up. So definitely do that. Also, if you know somebody who is looking for something different, something they can't quite put their hands on, and they don't know what they're looking for, but it's different. They're looking for something different.
We are that different.
We are very different.
But don't take our word for it.
Right. Don't take our word for it. Go to, say, listen to Synthaholics. They're a Star Trek podcast. They have drinks. They talk about Star Trek. They get really inappropriate, and they say really inappropriate things. If you enjoy those things, if you know somebody who might, definitely have them check it out. We love to have new people come aboard. We also have a great Facebook page that a lot of people have all been coming in, and everyone's been chiming in and doing posting and commenting on different things. And we're having a great little community that's been really forming the last year or so. It's probably a little more.
We've had
it
since the beginning of the show, but
yeah, but it's really started taking off. I noticed more and more people are coming aboard and saying things, and so that's awesome, and we appreciate that. And it's fun because we get to get other people's take on things. So it's always fun.
Yeah, and if you ever listen to any of our episodes from the different conventions, we're all about getting other people's takes on it, because last time I was at a convention, I asked people what they thought of the Discovery trailer. The time before that was like the 50th anniversary. You're like, hey, what's Star Trek mean to you after its 50th year, right? Going. And the next time we'll be at a convention, Discovery will have already been out, so we can ask people what they think of it so far.
Right, right.
So that'll be kind of a fun thing. And absolutely, that'll be the Buffalo Comic Con September 30th and October 1st.
Right. Yeah, so definitely get people to, if you know anybody, word of mouth is a wonderful way to share the show and to support the show. Anyways, and everybody, thank you so much for listening to this, our show. We love every one of you. We enjoy, like I said, we enjoy the Facebook group. We enjoy everybody
interacting with you there.
Interacting, people coming on the show and talking. We enjoy all our guests that have been coming on. It's been wonderful. And just the love of Star Trek and just being silly, having fun. Mm-hmm. We're really enjoying the group that's kind of slowly growing around us. So thank you for coming on that ride with us. It's been fun.
Yes, thank you so much. And actually, there's a poll on the group right now. If you haven't voted on it, please go ahead and do, because the poll on there right now is for how you want us to handle Discovery. The ones I put on there was, do you want us to talk about it every week to be up to the minute on Discovery, or do you want us to do it every other week to let you give you a chance to watch it and catch up on it? So we're not, because you know us, we're always spoiling everything. If you want us to be a little bit slower on the rollout, let us know by voting on that poll. Someone put a joke thing on there saying, oh, give us your sign-in things. Please don't vote for that one, because that's not what we're doing. We're not giving out our CBS All Access login info.
Yeah, yeah,
someone
yeah.
put that as a joke, because people could add different things
sure,
to the poll.
Sure,
so.
Right, right.
And there's like three or four people who voted on that one. Please don't vote on that one. We need legitimate numbers to know what you guys want right now. People want, so far the majority is people want us to do it every other week. If you want us to do it every week, get out there and vote. Let us know what you want. We only have like, I think, 20 or so votes in total right now. There's a couple hundred of you on the group. So
yeah, jump on. Only take a second.
And if you're not on the group, come and get on the group.
Yeah, if you don't know about the group, come on the group.
Yeah, use Facebook. Come on. It's fun. We like putting up silly things and science, actual good science.
Once in a while.
Aaron is usually our purveyor of actual science.
So actual science.
I appreciate
that. Not Voyager science.
Not magic.
Not magic science.
But, you know, we post Star Trek news when we see it, the trailers when we see it. Jerry Condra actually recently just posted some of her photos from Stockton Con.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Because she mentioned she was going to be at Stockton Con when she was on.
Awesome Batgirl costume, too.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Unbelievable.
That. Latex. It's just like...
I didn't even want to know how hot that was. It's going to be ridiculous.
But she loves it, though. She's super passionate about her latex projects, and she's working on another latex project
now. It is quite impressive.
Yeah, her Batgirl's amazing. You should check out those pictures. Go give them some likes and thumbs up. And anyone else who does cosplay who's part of our group, go ahead and post your stuff, because, I mean, yeah, we're a Star Trek group, but, you know, I like to be supportive of the people who also do amazing creative things.
Absolutely. For sure.
For sure. And 7 years ago.
Dave's lost it.
I had an Orion slave girl before I had my Long Island
tea. I bet you did.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. It's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. And we're back. No, I'm just joking. I had to.
No, you didn't. You didn't have to. You didn't. There's no need for it.
It was so funny last time.
Yes. Yeah. Also, anybody that... should edit that out.
Okay.
Yes.
Which part?
Whatever I said before that.
Okay.
I was going to go somewhere and I completely flaked out on it.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Oh. I'm still doing the outtakes.
Way in the bottom barrel outtakes.
Well, that drink I made last, that shot I made you last time, is called like the liquid marijuana. I'm just going to call it the Ryan Slave Girl. So it's Star Trek themed, and it's exotic because it's got those
right
coconut and pineapple and stuff in it. So I'm like, and it's green. It's a really nice shade of green. It's almost the Marta shade of green.
Marta. Don't run off with Marta's legs.
They're too sexy. Don't do it.
I do think it would be great if there was a scene at the end of that episode where
Marta, Darth Vizar just like
blows her up, and then the guys run out and grab her legs. Like, ooh.
Ooh.
Because her legs were so sexy. Yvonne Craig.
Yvonne Craig. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
Her dance was also pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, she was awesome. So, but
you know, it paved the way for the three Orion girls and Enterprise. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
If we could just have whole episodes of that
would be... We should do an Orion thing, because there's even Orions in...
animated series.
Animated series, too, which are pretty terrible.
Pretty terrible.
But we should do, like, how we did...
Orion,
like,
episodes.
Yeah. Like, maybe one encapsulated, because there's really not too many Orions.